97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. This segment is proudly brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you have never shot a firearm with a suppressor, it is time to get educated. And Razorback Armory is your silencer headquarters. Stop in and talk to Jesse and Brad and the crew there. They can get the whole process started. You can purchase one. They've got one for dang near every caliber that's out there. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. But they're on Manchester Road, just east of 270. You are going to love the experience. Okay, so we talk about training all the time on this show. Cleaning your weapon, training your weapon to make sure that is, it can be as close to second nature as possible. And Mark, I'm super excited about this guest.
Sometimes, Bo Matthews, you got to put it on the line, right? You know what I'm saying? You've been in your basement. You've been practicing with Mantis X. You're telling me how good you are these days. I'm going to challenge you to go to an IDPA competition and tell me how you're doing then. So if you're not familiar with that, it is the International Defensive Pistol Association. They hold matches at I know at the Range St. Louis West. I've been involved in one there in the past, and we've got Jason Brown on the phone with us right now. We're not talking about that, Bo. I've got Jason Brown on the phone with us right now from IDPA. And Jason, thanks for giving us some time today.
Gentlemen, it's great to be here. Thanks for taking the time with me.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I was telling Bo there a minute ago, the folks at the range had some sort of a promotion a while back. So they had me come out and go through the course and shoot. And then everybody else's challenge was to come and beat me, which it ended up, I surprisingly did better than I expected, Bo. I don't remember what my actual score was. But it was a lot of fun, and it was my first experience with IDPA. So, Jason, tell people a little bit about the organization and kind of maybe how it got started and how far it's come today.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, IDPA started in late 90s. The thinking behind it started a little earlier than that, but the idea was to wrap some sort of easy way for people with their concealed carry gear to enter into a shooting competition with a very low barrier of entry. Most shooting competitions have fairly expensive requirements to be competitive, but in IDPA, the idea was just getting people out with their concealed carry gear and giving them an opportunity to exercise and prove that their gear is the kind of gear that they want for that kind of activity, or for shooting under pressure and being able to perform on demand.
Yeah. Go ahead. You say concealed carry. One of the classes I was in, I mean, those weren't necessarily concealed carry size guns, so I'm assuming that's been part of the transformation?
Well, sure. Certainly the game has become, and it's been influenced by other sports as well, and the market in general. So you have one of the core tenets was not just to have concealed carry citizens be able to practice with their gear, but also to have military and law enforcement people be able to prove their gear in a similar competition. And it's just an idea. The idea is to get people who rely on a firearm, even if it's only the worst day of their lives, to be able to know how they might be able to perform, under that pressure, a simulated pressure. Granted, a sport is nothing like the real thing, but it's hard to generate any degree of stress on a static range with a target that's just hanging 10 yards down the road. It's hard to be able to generate the same kind of pressure there that you might experience if you needed the firearm, whether it be an exhaustive training class like the ones the range offers, but also in a real life scenario.
Jason Brown is our guest from the IDPA, and I'll be honest with you. Years and years ago, I went to a paintball range in East St. Louis. It was like in an old stockyard, and they had loud music going and strobe lights and obstacles and stuff like that. And just as in paintball world, your adrenaline is fired up. And then a few years back, I did laser tag, and your adrenaline is fired up. So is that the experience that you get at these events that you host around the country?
Absolutely. What you'll find is, as soon as somebody puts some metric of, a timer for you to begin, or, a visual cue for you to begin shooting, and some timer that'll assess your performance, nerves creep in on everyone. I've been doing this for a little over 10 years, and depending on, the level of match, I'll still have, you know, I'll still have the palm sweats and the butterflies in the stomach. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a great experience to do that. I mean, you don't really get that chance anywhere else. Competition is unique in that, shooting competitions is pretty unique in that way.
Now here's how I remember it. And Jason, please correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, but this is a timed event. But you can get time added to your score, so you'll move around and shoot at targets, maybe man-sized targets with a headshot or a chest shot, and if you don't get both shots within a certain circle, then you get time taken off. Isn't that how it works, Jason?
Yeah, we call it time plus scoring, and so your raw time is obviously the most important metric there, but any inaccuracies you present during the course of fire, or like any other game, it has rules. So if you were to find yourself, you know, coming in conflict with those rules, those add time to your performance as well. Now, it stands in contrast to some of the other shooting sports that are very popular, specifically handgun shooting sports like the USPSA, which is the United States Practical Shooters Association, and the international version of that, which is called IPSC. Those are more speed-oriented. IDPA focuses a lot more on accuracy, so inaccuracy can be kind of expensive.
Yes.
It pays to practice.
It does. And, you know, on this show that we talk every week, I always, you know, want to encourage people to train and to clean the gun, you know, repetitively, so it's like second nature to them. And what it comes down to is muscle memory in a lot of cases, and you don't have that opportunity. Law enforcement goes through certain training. They even have, you know, video programs that they can do where it's interactive and, you know, you're actually, you know, getting that stress level up. But a sheriff, Sheriff Marshak, actually, Jeffco, said when it's going down, you actually resort back to your most basic training, and that's what's so necessary. And it takes me back to, it reminds me of the mass shooting that occurred at Greenwood Park Mall in Indiana a couple of years ago, where they actually created a test, like what this guy shot at. I forget the yardage of it. Was it 75 yards?
Wasn't that far. Wasn't it like 30?
I think 40 was 40 the longest
yards?
Shot.
Yeah.
I think 40 was generally appreciated to be the longest shot. Still, though, that's
with a handgun,
from a pistol, that's insane. I mean, I don't know if you've ever looked at what a 18-inch wide target looks like at 40 yards over the top of some iron sights. It can be pretty intimidating. And I think the drill was in good spirit, and I've done it myself with, you know, varied results. But in an interview with Eli, I think he goes by Eli, it might be Elijah, I can't really remember.
Elijah, yeah.
Yeah, he said that it was a little bit different in real life. He did brace himself against a, you know, a column or something in the mall for the longer shots. The drill doesn't give you that opportunity, but it's hard to put a column everywhere you go. So, it's a really challenging drill. And it puts you in a mindset of what would you do if you had to take a shot that long when most ranges don't go past 25 yards?
It's a good point. Yeah. IDPA.com is the website if people want to go find out more. So, Jason, tell us about the competitions itself. People might be intimidated and think they're walking into a room with, you know, the best shooters in town, but you can join this at your own skill level, right? So if you're new to it, you start at novice and work your way up.
Absolutely. The primary focus of this was creating an easy on-ramp for novice shooters or new shooters who are just now getting into the self-defense mindset, whether it be carrying it every day, a home defense firearm, whatever the case may be. It allows, based on your equipment and based on your skill level, competition against like skilled people. There are absolute professionals that compete at a very high level in the sport, just like you find in any sport. But at the same time, their local match will be filled with people who are eager to help you out in any way, shape, or form that you require, and you'll have competition right out the gate.
I think it's so important because it's one of the few sports that could actually save your life. You can get into it for the sport of it, but, you know, down the road, you could possibly save your life or protect those loved ones around you. Now, Mark is a golfer, and so he could use his driver as a weapon, I'm sure, but
no.
There's still not a lot of sports out there that's going to save your life.
I'm not very good with that either. I'll just have to say.
It would depend, I think, also on how accurate you are with the ball at range, right? Unless you're 3 feet away, things could be a little bit.
So what's your advice, Jason, for people who might be interested in this? You want to find a local club, I would assume, and ask a few questions. What's your advice on that?
Yeah, so in our local area, you know, we have several great clubs with a lot of different pools of people to compete with, and it's a great experience. Everybody's been nice. It's one of the things that distinguishes this sport, I think, from a lot of others, is how welcoming we are to newer people. That said, we have gatewayidpa.com, which is just sort of a collection of resources that we're putting together for people, no matter where you are within this greater St. Louis metropolitan area, to find a local club that will help you and get a sense of their schedule as well. Yeah. There's usually 6 events per month, so there's really no reason not to go out and watch one. And again, spectators are welcome at every single match I've ever been to. So my advice would be, if you have a firearm, you have a few serviceable magazines, whether or not you have a holster to carry it in, most clubs will make accommodation for you to be able to shoot, even from the low ready, if you are uncomfortable or inexperienced drawing a loaded firearm.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, like, my introduction to it happened to be at the Range St. Louis West, which is where I go all the time. And even if you go to their website, you can see when upcoming IDPA matches are scheduled. So if the Range isn't where you go, which I'd highly recommend, you can probably check your own local place wherever you go, and they're probably hosting these matches.
Absolutely, especially if, you know, for in St. Louis anyway, we have the Range St. Louis West in Baldwin. STL Sharpshooters just started their IDPA matches as well. Ooh, so nice. We have indoor options if the weather is intimidating. Now, I'll recommend, of course, that you shoot in bad weather, because not all bad things happen on sunny days. But getting used to how your gear works in the rain is a good thing, or cold, whatever. Sometimes our hands are different. But I think it's, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities in IDPA to get comfortable as a civilian. You know, most of the military and police have training budgets that we can't match independently as, you know, as citizens. And so they get the opportunity to do these things. IDPA is really the easiest, least expensive way for a concerned citizen to get good at using their self-defense tools.
It's so important. And I'll tell you what, when I first saw the show sheet from Carl, our producer, I thought we were going to be talking to a microbrewery. I thought we were talking IPA.
Oh,
that's not what we're talking about
afterwards.
At all.
That's afterwards.
That's Mark's weekend.
Yeah. Not before.
But I will tell you, you guys have produced a ton of videos on YouTube, so that's where I did my homework to prepare for this conversation. I encourage anybody that's listening to this conversation, is intrigued. Seriously, you can go buy a gun, but unless you train with it, and unless you train in a situation like this, it's a paperweight, or it could be deadly to use. So you really need to do the right thing and up your level of training with the IDPA for sure.
Yeah. Again, Jason, gatewayidpa.com. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's our local. That's a local site that we're building up to, you know, encourage participation in the greater metropolitan area.
Excellent. Well,
we have clubs in Illinois. We have clubs in, you know, Missouri, all over. There's a lot of great shooting to be done in this area.
Sounds like a fantastic organization. Jason Brown, we appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you on the range. How about that?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Appreciate that. So
I want to meet you for that.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be a good time. So here's the thing. Really, it's for anybody at any skill level. It's also for whatever type of weapon you prefer to carry. They've got a division for revolvers. They've got a division for the carry optics. If you've got your gun set up with optics, they've got one for just service pistols, custom defense pistols, compact carry. I mean, anything you prefer to shoot, they've got it in there. So,
dude, I've got so many people in my head that probably have never heard of this, and I really want to. I'm going to be sending their website out to so many people because I'm just learning of this organization. And ironically, it's not. There's no organization that's the International Assault Pistol Association,
no,
so that doesn't exist.
Of course not.
It's about defense. It's about defense. Dang it.
Yes, indeed. Just like our show.
Are we done?
That's right. We're done. That does it for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.